Hello and welcome, or welcome back. I'm Mick Podfix, and today I am going to be reading Chapter 4 of Owl Was Well by Fencer underscore X on Archive of Our Own. I highly recommend you go through and watch the previous episodes if you haven't already. That way everything makes sense. And if you aren't already familiar, this story is a pairing of Draco Malfoy and Harry Potter from the Harry Potter series. And I think that's everything. So now, without further ado, please enjoy. Chapter 4. Following their illuminating little chat, Draco decided the best way to ensure he didn't have a stroke from how absolutely infuriating it was interacting with Potter when they both knew who and what the other was to simply avoid him altogether. This was a markedly easier task now that they didn't have any classes together. Helped in spades by Draco being able to just turn into a bird and fly away whenever he wanted. Potter poked his head into the owlry a couple of times, casting about the lower branches while worrying his lip and looking like he desperately wanted to continue their tete-a-tete. But Draco was having none of it, and so kept well away. He delivered no more packages for Potter, made no more visits to Gryffindor Tower, and no longer spied on Potter and his pals during their pick-up Quidditch games. He was practically a ghost these days, only out of his room for as long as strictly necessary. Potter invited trouble wherever he went, and so long as Draco continued consorting with him, regardless of his reasoning, he would invariably be swept up in that trouble. He'd let his guard down, thought perhaps he could have a bit of fun and reform his reputation, or at least keep it from sinking any lower than it already had. But now he was seeing ever so much more clearly. If he wanted to repair the damage he'd suffered from the string of staggeringly poor choices made in his brief time on Earth thus far, he could afford no more distractions. And Harry Potter was the worst sort of distraction imaginable for someone like Draco. "What have you got there?" Pansy asked, leaning into his space as he frowned down at the box that had just been dumped in his hands by Xerxes during the morning owl post deliveries. In the time since the debacle with the Prophet, Draco had a nice sit-down chat with himself, reminding that he couldn't hide away from the world forever, and the longer he cloistered himself away in the dungeon, the more people would talk, until he couldn't ever reemerge without creating an entirely new scandal. He needed to suffer their probing gazes and hushed whispers until they found someone new to gossip about. He hadn't done anything wrong, barring Potter's testimony, and the sorts who were liable to take out their anger and frustration on him physically were going to find a way to do so whether or not he made himself available to them. So he'd reclaimed his spot at the Slytherin table in the Great Hall, meeting no one's eyes and focusing solely on his meals. Someone had jinxed his spoon to wilt in his hand whenever he tried to ladle a sip of soup the first dinner back, and Pansy had had a fit, vowing swift and unflinching retribution on whoever the culprit might be. His spoons had behaved ever since. This morning, though, there'd been an anomaly. Draco didn't get packages, not from anyone but his mother, and she would have sent her own owl, not Xerxes. Really, no one would have sent Xerxes unless this was a return post, and Draco hadn't sent a letter to anyone in weeks. Just yesterday he'd seen the eagle owl snoozing on a warm beam of afternoon sunlight. So what in the name of all ancient fey lords was this? "Gonna open it?" Blaze asked around a bite of croissant. "Reckon it's cursed? Want me to check?" He raised his wand in offer, but Draco waved him away. "Your funeral," Blaze shrugged. "Maybe literally. At least you'll have an excuse to have your mother buy you a new set of mourning robes." Good point. Carry on, then. Carefully, because it might be cursed after all, Draco lifted the lid to find a wand. His wand. Not his mother's. His. Hawthorn, unicorn hair, 10 inches, reasonably springy, Ollivander had told him. The last time he'd seen his wand, it had been clutched in the grimy palms of... A card lay underneath the wand, scrawled in blotchy ink with, "Sorry I evidently suggested we were friends. Rather rude of me. Promise to never do it again. H.J.P. His eyes snapped overhead, where he could see Xerxes lazily winging his way back to the owlery. "Traitor," he muttered under his breath. "No more treats for that bird." He cut his breakfast short, slipping the wand, box and all, into his robe pocket and scurrying back to his room in the dungeon. Once assured he was alone, he finally allowed himself to sit down on the edge of his bed and study the wand with a closer eye. He could still remember his mother, eyes wide and white, pressing her wand into his hands even before the echoing pop of Potter's disapparating had faded. The hilt had been warm, and her fingers so cold and trembling. "Take it, dearest. Protect yourself." He'd been ashamed as he'd accepted it, knowing in his heart of hearts that Potter hadn't stolen his wand from him. He'd let it go. Not consciously, he hadn't been stupid enough to leave that for the Dark Lord to root out of his mind, but still, his fingers had loosened and his grip weakened, and then Potter had taken it and fled, gone in a whirl of magic, off to parts unknown. He'd fantasized for a bit after that, wondering what might have happened if he hadn't let go, if Potter had disapparated and necessarily taken Draco with him. He would have finally been free. He would have been with Potter, granted, but Potter wasn't the Dark Lord, and that would have been enough. It had only ever been a fantasy, though. He wouldn't have been able to leave his mother there to fend for herself, defenseless and alone, without even Lucius to stand between her and the Dark Lord's vengeful fury at Potter once more slipping his grasp. Potter had been right. Draco hadn't been a good Death Eater. But he'd never wanted to be one. Not really. Not once he understood what that meant, what he'd been expected to do. He'd had dreams. Real, actual ambitions. Ambitions to do something beyond simply collect on the interest the Malfoy name had earned. And all because he hadn't had the stones to tell his father to fuck off, to take his mother and apparate away. He was sitting here, alone in the dungeon, holding a wand that wasn't even loyal to him anymore, and utterly bereft of prospects, with Harry fucking Potter feeling sorry for him. He fell back spread-eagle on his bed and stared up at the iron chandelier turning overhead, candles softly flickering in their cups. Circe's tits, he was moping. Someone knocked softly on his door, and he muttered a gruff, "Come in if you must." He could count on one hand the number of people who dared disturb him when his door was shut, and they were all relatively tolerable presences. He supposed he could stand being seen moping by any one of them. It was Pansy, it turned out. She paused in the doorway, and he could feel her eyes on him, trying to work out just what was going on. Then, carefully and warily, as if she thought he might have been petrified and perhaps the basilisk that had rendered him thus was still lurking about, she approached. Her feet whispered softly across the plush area rug, and then she was there, settling down beside him on the mattress. He rolled over a little as the bed sank. "Draco, you've been acting funny ever since breakfast. What's wrong, darling?" Mutely, he passed over his wand hilt first, and she accepted it with a frown, then a small gasp of recognition. Oh, it's your wand! But you said you lost it during the occupation. Wherever did it get off to?" He let a beat pass, and then just had out with it. "Am I a coward?" The silence that followed was deafening, more so because Pansy interrupted it with an offended huff of, "Absolutely not! Why on earth would you think such a thing?" He could hear the heat in her voice, and it was touching. They might have made a fine pair if he'd at all been enamored to female favors, and if she hadn't been so devoted to throwing off the shackles of tradition. He threw an arm over his eyes. "I never picked a side. I picked my family, and I did all I could to help myself and to help them, but that's hardly the same." For all their sanctimony, at least Gryffindor stood up for what they believed in, and even the Dark Lord's most faithful truly trusted in him and gave their lives to see his will done. there was no place for cowards on either side, so if I didn't pick a side at all, then logically, I must be a coward. Bullshit, Pansy spat, grabbing his wrist and jerking his arm away. She shifted until she was leaning over him, her pinched features filling his entire vision. Everyone fought for what was important to them back then. That's all there was to it. We were all fighting. All of us. The Griffin freaks worshipped Potter and Dumbledore and their holier-than-thouness. The Death Eaters worshipped the Dark Lord and all the pretty lies he promised them. You said, to hell with other people. I'm standing up for my own, and you fought. Just because you weren't in the thick of it, throwing about flashy spell work, doesn't mean you weren't handling your own battles. She shook her head shortly. I would never call that cowardice. It's not cowardice to want to live, to do all that you can so that you and those around you survive. We were all doing that. Don't let anyone dare suggest otherwise. He blinked up at her. Her cheeks were red now, flushed with emotion, and she leaned down to give him a short, sharp, smacking kiss square in the center of his head. She drew back, still frowning down at him, and said, I'm glad you got your wand back, before hopping off the bed, whispering back across the rug, and swanning from his room. Like a storm, that one was a cloudburst. There 1 minute, harsh and beating and overwhelming, and gone the next. Yes, they definitely would have made a fine pair, though Draco didn't think he would have survived her. It would have been fun while it lasted, though. He mulled over her advice. It sounded lovely to his ears, of course. He wanted to believe her. Really, he did. It seemed counter to human nature not to want to live, not to do everything it took to survive. And if it only counted when you were fighting for love, well, hadn't he fought for love? For his family? And still Potter managed to make him feel like shit for doing so. He wanted a life, but Potter seemed to only think he deserved one if he was willing to beg for it. Paying for that life with probations and restrictions and condemnation clearly wasn't enough. Well, too fucking bad, because he wasn't going to beg, and he also wasn't going to sit idly by and let people take pot shots at him and what was left of his family. There was keeping his head down, and there was hiding. The former was smart, and he was getting really tired of doing the latter. So he woke up early the next morning, scrawled out a memo on a scrap of parchment, and tied it off with a length of thread before walking himself to the owlry, a pep in his step and a whistle on his tongue. No one was up just yet, outside of the ghosts and the odd Ravenclaw already bustling their way toward the library to get in a bit of pre-prandial study, so he had the owlry all to himself. By the time he'd transformed and taken a few laps around the castle to wake himself up, it was nearing time for breakfast, and he followed the line of other owls through the skylight of the great hall. With precision he hadn't felt the need to practice since shitting on Potter's head, he angled for the Gryffindor tables, swooped low, and dropped his parchment, and the dead mouse spellotaped to it, right on top of Harry Potter's Eggs Benedict. Draco did not stick around to hear the scandalized screeches and appalled gasps that rippled down the Gryffindor tables, instead winging back out the way he entered. Still, he knew that once Potter managed to dispose of Draco's lovely gift and unfurl the parchment, he would be met with just two lines. Fight me. Experimental Charms Classroom. Midnight. It was as good a sight as any for an after-curfew duel, Draco figured. Warded against spellfire damage and soundproof to boot, there was little chance of them being disturbed while they worked through their issues. Issues that included reacquainting Draco with the sound of Potter's nose crunching as he laid into it. Of course you're already here, Draco sighed, slipping into the classroom at 5 minutes till to find Potter sitting on one of the desks shoved up against the wall. His legs dangled down, swinging back and forth in a manner that left him looking terribly bored, and Draco tamped down the flare of irritation. He'd said midnight, and he'd meant midnight. Was his problem Potter couldn't read a clock or perform a basic tempus? Easier to sneak out while everyone's getting ready for bed than to wait till they're asleep. My room's full of light sleepers, and I didn't want to deal with questions. He gave Draco a once-over. How'd you get around your roommates? Haven't got roommates. What? There's only three of us back. We've got private suites. You... private suites? Potter's tongue went tiny and tight. How come you get suites? Draco shrugged. I suppose there's more real estate to spread around when you don't have to accommodate an entire extra year's worth of students. Were none of your lot ready to leave the nest? Oh, piss off. We needed newts, and last year was hardly conducive to studying properly. He squinted at Draco in the low lamplight, like he was trying to figure him out. How'd you know I would come? That wasn't a very pleasant invitation. It wasn't an invitation at all. It was a challenge. Everyone knows you can't resist those. Besides, he shrugged, you didn't manage to off me the last time we faced off within these hallowed walls. I thought perhaps you might like another go. Potter's expression went a bit queasy, and then he colored and opened his mouth, but Draco gave a bark of derisive dismissal. Oh, don't look at me like that. I'm the one who nearly died, not you. I did die, Potter said, or at least that was what it sounded like. Draco blinked, frowning. What? Never mind, he continued in a rushed mumble, rubbing at his eyes. So what does fight me mean, then? You can't seriously want a duel. Think I wouldn't win? Not without cheating, no, if we're being honest. And I won my last duel against someone who was pretty experienced, so I'm still riding that winner's high. He palmed his wand from his sleeve, twirling it between his fingers. But if you're gonna insist... Draco's expression went tight. Snarky little shit. He really did think Draco couldn't take him, with fists or a wand. He held up the Hawthorne wand for show. It's not listening to me. Pretty sure it's because I didn't win it back from you proper. He tossed it at Potter, who scrambled to catch it, dropping his own in the doing. Ha! Bet he saw the use in wandless magic now, and then rushed forward. He swept Potter's leg with his own, sending him onto his ass, then quickly followed him down onto the flagstones with a knee on Potter's chest to hold him in place. What the hell are you... Potter rasped, wincing and grunting in pain. It's midnight. The fight started. Thought we were dueling. Did the card say duel me? No. Then I can't imagine why you'd think that. Draco reached for his wand, still weakly palmed in Potter's hand, and snatched it back for himself. He gave it a snapping swish, conjuring a wispy silver snitch that zipped around Potter's head, hovering tantalizingly over his nose, and making him go cross-eyed as he tried to focus on it, before winking out. Draco nodded, satisfied. Good, that seems to have done it. Your help is appreciated. Potter only groaned in pain, releasing a sharp oof as Draco pushed off of him, standing. He brushed down his robes to adjust the line, and Potter stared up at him dazedly from behind his glasses. Draco frowned at him, then scoffed. Get up so I know you aren't concussed. He reached down, grabbing Potter's wrist and jerking him back to his feet. Potter wobbled unsteadily, barely catching himself before he went tumbling back down when Draco shoved him away. I'm not concussed, he protested, but winced when he touched the back of his head. I don't think. He cast about for his wand, catching where it had been rolled under one of the desks. He slipped it back into his sleeve, then groused, You could have just disarmed me with whatever wand you've been using, you know. I don't think wands are that picky about loyalty. All I did was grab yours out of your hand and it obeyed me just fine. Oh, I know. This was more satisfying, though. Potter made some noises under his breath that were probably rude words, then crossed his arms over his chest, shrugging. So, is that all? If you just wanted to deck me quickly, I could have made myself available to you between classes. Draco paused, looking him over. Potter was an utter chore to interact with, but for whatever reason, Draco felt compelled to defend himself, so interact they must. He recalled Pansy's words, her firm conviction, though he knew she'd been defending herself and her own actions in the war as much as Draco. Still, he agreed with her, took strength in her cool logic. He sniffed, reminding himself not to sneer. It put Potter on the defensive and made him even more difficult than usual. I'm not a coward. Potter's expression was impassive. I never said you were. You implied I was, Draco said, and he knew he was whining as he did so. No, Potter said gently, as if correcting a toddler. I implied you were indecisive, and that you needed to get a thicker skin, which you are, and you do. I'm not indecisive, Draco snapped. I know precisely what I want, and I'm going about to get it. I'm not indecisive, Draco snapped. I know precisely what I want, and I'm going about getting it, in my own time and in my own way, the easiest way I know how. Just because it doesn't fit how you think I ought to be living my life, the easiest way you know how, Potter repeated in monotone. That doesn't mean it's the easiest way, just means you don't know better. So now I'm stupid. Potter was getting irritated, which meant he was getting emotional, which meant he'd shortly storm out of here and Draco would have won. No, I know you aren't stupid. I know you're reasonably clever, but you can't read minds. So maybe stop assuming you know what I think of you and let me tell you instead. When Draco didn't manage a clever quip in response quickly enough, Potter continued on, all that pent-up emotion driving him like a steam engine. You're a pill, a right pill. I know that better than anyone, but I don't hate you. Potter's lips did something funny, like they wanted to say something, but he wasn't letting them. To be honest, you never really mattered enough to me to hate. And, oh fuck, that stung for some reason. It stung deep, and he felt his throat tinging with offense, but Potter was still rambling. But I never wanted you in Azkaban, or shunned from the public eye for life or anything like that, because I know what you did in the war, and I know what you didn't do as well. That's something not a lot of people outside your immediate family can say, I reckon. He took a step toward Draco, but kept well out of leg-sweeping range. Potter was a quick study. Whether he was faced with an owl with pinpoint shitting accuracy, or a humiliated pureblood who'd been spending his free time reading too many books about how monastic wizards in Tibet channeled their magic for use in hand-to-hand combat. You deserve better than this. Better than probation and a bunch of doors slamming in your face. It'd be a monumental waste. You just fucking off after graduation, never to be seen or heard from again. And maybe it'll make me sound full of myself, but given what we've gone through, I reckon you ought to value my opinion over a bunch of randos on the street. Draco didn't quite know what to say to that, so he went for the lowest hanging fruit. You're right, it does make you sound full of yourself. Potter rolled his eyes and made some more noises under his breath. Well, what had he expected? I did pick a side. Potter's frown was less offended and more confused, so Draco painted him a picture. You said I didn't, and that's why everything went to shit for me. But I did. I picked my family. He drew himself up tall, not at all ashamed. He wasn't a coward. We always pick each other. Potter stared at him for a long, uncomfortable beat, then hung his head, nodding. I guess loyalty's a pretty fine quality to have. My family's mostly shit, so I can't relate. Draco tried to discern if Potter was fishing for sympathy or had genuinely suffered a less than wholesome upbringing. Sure, there were the dead parents, but it wasn't as if Potter remembered them enough to mourn them. Someone had to have reared him, and there were the letters, of course. Who's Tedward? Potter lifted his head, brows knit in befuddlement. Huh? Or, fine, Teddy, I suppose, is what you called him. Potter mouthed Tedward slowly, then shook his head, blinking. Where'd you hear about Teddy? Hear about him? You only wrote to him every other day, practically. About the most inane shit, too. Honestly, I read your letters to fall asleep some nights, just... He snapped his fingers. Sent me right off. He wrinkled his nose. Is he not family, then? Your bastard, mayhaps? Potter actually laughed, then quickly covered his mouth, looking appalled at himself and throwing a horrified look at the door before evidently recalling the chamber was soundproofed. He cleared his throat, but when he brought his hand away, he was still smiling with entirely too much amusement, and Draco got the sick feeling he'd just embarrassed himself again. Not quite, but not quite. At Draco's confused expression, he clarified, "Godson." Oh, well, he'd been close. It had been an understandable misconception, with Potter's celebrity in the stratosphere these days. Potter nodded again, smile gone a little soft around the edges now. Yeah, loyalty's a good quality. He raised a finger. But you need more than family watching your back sometimes. I mean, I love Teddy, and I'd do almost anything for him, but I can't exactly trust a 6-month-old to help me take down dark wizards, now can I? Isn't that what your fan club's for? Draco sneered, because here he was again, learning entirely more about Harry Potter than he wanted to. This was starting to sound like another effort at reformation, and Draco was growing bored. Well, those of us without fan clubs might consider the merit of having people around willing to watch your back as fiercely as you watch theirs. Just a suggestion. Think I haven't got any friends? Was right there on his lips, but he could already hear Potter telling him to stop assuming you know what I think of you, while his eyes rolled around the room, up the walls, and across the ceiling. How'd you get here anyway? What? Potter gestured around the room. It's well past curfew, and you've never been all that good at sneaking around. Pay off Filch or something? Draco's lip curled at the suggestion. No. If you haven't noticed, I've learned a few new tricks for getting around undetected. It's a dodgy business, flying through the halls, but I'm not likely to get caught, at least. Miss Norris wouldn't dare tackle something my size. Though he wished she might try, he could do with letting off a bit of steam. He jerked his chin in Potter's direction. You? Or does McGonagall just give you the run of the castle these days? Of course not. Potter huffed, though amiably enough, and he reached into the moleskin pouch around his neck to dig out a cloak that seemed to glitter and shift in the low light from the torches flickering in the sconces around the classroom. The fabric flowed through Potter's grip like water, swishing and pooling until he spread it out fully, and then it seemed to vanish. Draco closed the distance between them in 3 strides, already reaching for what had to be the most fantastic invisibility cloak he'd ever seen. This... what is this? A halo. A what? He seemed to search Draco's face for recognition, which he was welcome to, for he'd find none. What the fuck was a halo? Evidently satisfied Draco had passed, or else failed, his test, he said instead, "Invisibility cloak." Obviously. I meant, where did you get it? The Marauders. And now he was just making things up to fuck with Draco. If he didn't want to discuss something, all he needed was to say so. He drew the cloak out of Draco's reach, draping it over his shoulders, then seemed to consider something. Want to come under? What? No, he spat, recoiling a step lest his body betray him, because of course he wanted to get under, It was a fucking invisibility cloak. Really, the best nobody-bother-me magic you could come by. I can't fit under there with you. You barely fit alone. Besides, we're going different ways. Well, one, I was thinking I could carry you, as an owl. And two, I was going to sneak you back to Gryffindor Tower with me. Then you could slip out the window and head back to the dungeons that way, without having to worry about running into Filch or Mrs. Norris. Plus, no risking breaking your neck flying through the hallways. Fine time for Potter to start worrying about necks being broken. Draco mulled over the invitation before admitting privately that he hadn't had fun getting here, and he wasn't looking forward to flying back. The moving staircases had nearly clipped him, and that was a long tumble to take in so fragile a form. Fine, he said, then shook a finger in Potter's face. But this never happened. Potter gave him a look of bemused indulgence. Draco didn't like it one bit. Who would believe me? You spent the better part of 5 years here convincing everyone I was mad. And he had a point, so Draco shrunk down into his owl form and allowed himself to be scooped into Potter's arm, talons at the ready in case Potter got handsy. Potter held Draco gently clutched against his chest as he crept along the corridors, unremarked by even the portraits. On occasion, he'd pause to pull out a folded piece of parchment, consulting it with a frown, but then he'd put it away again and they'd continue on. After what felt like an interminable amount of time, Potter finally prodded the portrait of the fat lady that marked the entrance to Gryffindor Tower, giving the password and ignoring her sleepily mumbled reprimands against breaking curfew as he carefully crawled into the common room and made his way for the stairs. His bedroom was dark, though Draco could see clearly enough with the faint moonlight filtering in through the windows, and he winced inwardly when Potter seemed to unerringly manage to trip over every object possible, hissing oaths under his breath. Draco nibbled on his fingers to remind him to be quieter, as just because people couldn't see him didn't mean they couldn't hear him, and Potter finally buttoned up. After much trial and error and several stubbed toes, they finally reached the windowsill, and Potter set him down with one hand while he reached to unlatch the window with the other. I wish I could say it's been fun, but I've got a goose egg on the back of my head that would argue otherwise. He unthinkingly reached out and scritched Draco under the ruff of his feathers, wringing his face, as if he were a proper owl and not only hiding in this form for reasons. Wanker. Good night, Alabastard. And then Draco was off, winging his way quick as he could back through the courtyard and headed for the dungeon, but not before his keen hearing picked up the faint strains of Weasley, sleep-drunk and raspy, asking, "Did you just smuggle an owl into our room?" I very much hope you enjoyed this week's chapter. If you did, be sure to follow or subscribe, depending on the platform. And if you'd like to hear more, I've got content on Anchor, Spotify, and a catalog on AO3, which is still missing stuff, so if you find the holes, be sure to let me know. If you have recommendations, I have a form for you to fill out, and if you'd like to join my Discord server or follow me on Instagram, you can find the links to all of these things on my Beacon page. The link to which will be in the description, as well as some other important info. This isn't just a ploy to get me more followers. I do post semi-important stuff, like when I'm MIA, when I'm taking a break, what's going on at school, personal life, when I'm going to be gone, etc. I enjoy every single comment. I look through it. I look through all of them. I read them at least twice because, they bring me life. So please leave me so many. And while I have you here, please go give the author some love, because as you can tell, they are so gifted, and I can't wait to dig into the next chapter next week. And yeah, thank you for joining me today, and I will see you next time. Bye!